Welcome back to the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Anthony. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I'm here every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Again, on FirstAmendmentRadio.com on this August 18th, 2014 day in our calendar. So what do I have in store for you today? Well, as you know, I've been covering the story and the jailing of Tony Alamo, and you probably, if you've listened to my shows, understand that any time that a man is put in a jail for 175 years and is convicted on flimsy testimony, as I've seen in this case, and also when you understand that he was a severe critic of the Vatican and you understand what they're all about, and from my perspective, it's a story that needs to be addressed. And, you know, there's a group called the Innocence Project out there who take on cases of people who they feel are falsely arrested. And if anybody knows them, contact them about Alamo. Maybe they can lend some assistance because he didn't receive a good defense. And we're going to go into that in a couple other shows as far as his appeal that's sitting on the judge's desk and also his motion for retrial, as well as going over meticulously the testimony of the five people that were used to convict him and showing you some of the irregularities here, as well as showing you some of the testimony that was, well, some of the witnesses that weren't allowed in by the for the defense. And to basically show you that maybe this was a government setup. And, you know, when you look at this case, you've got to really wonder because of, you know, especially from the information I know regarding him. For example, I can remember even a year before the arrest came down in Falk, Arkansas, and Tony wasn't even there, by the way. They stormtrooped this thing, this ministry, this Bible-believing ministry, and there were about six kids playing on the grounds at the time that were frightened to death when these stormtroopers come in with 100, you know, BATF agents or whatever they are, with their guns blazing and their black suits. And, oh, by the way, they had contacted the 150 media outlets so that they were ready for the big show, too, and so that basically at that particular juncture, anybody listening to the news would have convicted Tony right off the bat if you didn't know anything about the story. And that's the way people are. You know, they see something like that, and they go, well, he must be a bad guy if the government did that. But anyway, if anybody out there knows the Innocence Project and people that were, we need 100 of those groups with all the people that are in jail now for things they didn't do. But anyway, if anybody knows them, have them look into Tony's case and maybe lend him a hand. But anyway, there's a lot of irregularities in this case. And one, I think he was convicted for the 40 years of trying to tell people, you know, about the Vatican misdeeds and how they are connected to our government. And basically, a number of his, he was harassed for 20 years. He had already spent 4 years in jail for what was most likely a bogus IRS charge. And as you know, I'm doing a theater play on him. And the reason I want to do this is that I want to present his story in a different way, so that people may actually sit in a theater and watch this go down and leave with an idea that maybe you've heard a little bit about his story. And I'm also doing that regarding another gentleman named Tupper Saucy, who was also, I believe, persecuted for his views and for a couple books he wrote. One, Miracle on Main Street. Two, Rulers of Evil. And I'd get into Tupper on another show. But today, I just have enough time to do a couple things here. And what I want to do first is talk about a girl who saw what happened to Tony, and this came out in 2010. She wrote a blog, and I want to read what she wrote about it, and then I want to get into some of his views that he wrote about that may have landed him in jail, and you make up your own mind. So, and maybe then, if I do have time, I'll get into one witness that should have testified on his behalf, and that was one John Peeler, an ex-FBI agent, who basically came out and said that he was enlisted by the government to bring this ministry down. And his testimony would have been damning for the government. And if you were sitting on a jury and you listened to him, you might have second thoughts about convicting the man, and maybe that's the reason he wasn't allowed to testify, based on the fact that they felt that the judge felt that it wasn't relevant in the case. Well, yes, it is. It's not relevant if you want to convict the man, of course. So anyway, let's look at what Cameo Garrett said when she heard about the Tony Alamo jailing and the sentencing. And this happened 2 years after the arrest. And it was July 10th that she wrote this, a Saturday. And her name is Cameo Garrett. And she says, I was near the TV as it was on and brought up the name Tony Alamo. I thought this sounded very familiar, yet I couldn't remember why, so I looked him up. I couldn't believe it. I had contacted this ministry and looked into things, and even corresponded by email or phone once or twice before the local authorities and FBI went after my son. The TV was saying he was beating people and a pedophile, but I find this, as strange as it seems, very against him. I personally looked at the papers from the so-called tax evasion case he was in, and I might add this was the one where he was convicted for 4 years prior to this arrest. So they've been after him a long time, and Peeler, the man who was going to testify, was going to shed some light on these cases, what he wasn't allowed to. So she says, I personally looked at the papers from the so-called tax evasion case he was in, and he was absolutely slammed by the feds and the government, and it wasn't legitimate. I was not going to just believe what I read, so I looked at actual documents, and this guy and his wife really were persecuted. Now, she says something interesting there, because she does something that 99% of most Americans won't do, and that's believe what you read. Like Mark Twain said, if you don't read the newspaper, you're not informed. When you read it, you're misinformed. But she said, I wanted to look at the actual documents and go a little bit deeper. I do not take child abuse lightly at all, I might add, she said. However, it seems very strange to me that this man was arrested about 6 months after my son was taken and after he and I had correspondence. I'd forgotten about him, but was interested in his tax evasion case because I thought it was so bizarre. They'd been harassed to begin with. He said he and his followers were still being harassed. Now, Tony told me this many times. And I always bring this point up. If a guy a year before, or even knows about this 20 years before, he was saying they've been harassing him 20 years before, he would, you know, if it was me, I would be watching everything I did very closely and would never put myself in a situation where I might even have a possibility of doing anything wrong. If I knew I'd been hounded like he'd known for 20 or 30 years by the government, or even longer, for his views about the Vatican. It's that simple. I think they would have, you know, I think if it wasn't for those statements, and I'm going to read some of the things he said, which isn't anything different than a lot of people I know that have come on my show and talked about. But you see, he had a following. He was reaching a lot of people. He spent a lot of money to get on the radio. He was talking about this worldwide. He had a lot of followers who were listening to him. And this is a no-no when it comes to the Vatican. You don't want to get too big. Because once you do, then they start coming down on you. They don't mind if you go to the local coffee shop and you talk about it to a couple people, and then people walk away with their eyes rolling, going, that guy's out of his mind. That's fine. But when you start spending a lot of money, you have a successful ministry, this is when the Vatican takes interest. And this is when the attack dogs come out. And she says, you know, I don't take child abuse lightly at all. However, it seemed very strange, you know, and I went into that this guy, you know, was arrested 6 months after my son had been taken away. I had forgotten about him, and, so she was talking about the tax evasion case, and I thought it was so bizarre that he'd been harassed to begin with. He said he and his followers were still being harassed, like I said, he told me as well, and were under constant surveillance, and I didn't doubt him. People tried to say he was nuts, but obviously he wasn't, because several months after my son and I left the country, the feds went after him. He got 175 years, and this is so extreme. It really makes me wonder if it was a retaliation case that was brought against him. Well, yeah, why don't you? Why wouldn't you wonder? You know what a you know. I think it's really strange, she said. This is Cameo Garrett. It's almost like someone went after him to shut him up by locking him up. Well, perhaps that's the case. And I'm going to read you some things that may have got him locked up. And I thought we had freedom of speech in this country. Right. I feel after reading documents associated with the so-called tax evasion that he was targeted. He spoke against the Catholic Church a lot and some other groups, maybe FBI, I don't recall, but read stuff he'd written. I remember they were also interested in maybe helping me and my son out so maybe if I had have haters who are that bad, going after him so he couldn't do this, was that important? I don't know. It was a long time ago, but they wanted to meet and hear more about what was happening with my son because there was a common interest in government corruption here. I didn't agree with his philosophies, all of them, not all, or beliefs, but I did believe him about the persecution and surveillance. I read the legal documents myself. It didn't add up and looked retaliatory. And so here's what I'm getting at. And she said something really important there. Like I said many times, you know, under our Constitution, in writing, we have the right to our own beliefs. And there's never really two people on this planet that believe in the same exact things. And so you may disagree, like many people do in the Bible community. There's always people going back and forth, interpreting the Bible in different ways. And you may not agree with all that Tony's Bible-believing philosophies. And that's to be expected. But in the end, there was something that he was doing there. He was allowing people and helping people. And that's overlooked when they talked about him in the newspapers. So that's an important thing she was saying. So she says here, something else I'm finding strange, as this is Cameo Garrett talking, is the interest the government or some persons in government seem to have in going after anyone who they, quote, think might be involved with me in any kind of supportive way. For example, I barely mentioned having met the Colton Harris guy, and all of a sudden, it was like the very next day, there was this sudden renewed interest in finding him, and then a new $10,000 reward goes up, too. I believe I ran into him a long time ago, but it wasn't recent. He looks very familiar to me. It seems strange that there would be a new power to the hunt after we met. What's the $10,000 for? Anyway, I'm completely against sex abuse of any kind, however. The only reason I postponed my judgment, even though this supposedly went to court, is because I have already had a peek into other things he went to jail for, and it was bogus and retaliatory. So I think someone wanted to lock him up, to shut him up, and to keep him from being able to help anyone else who might have revolutionary ideas. And I might disagree with her here. I don't think he had revolutionary ideas. I think he was just pointing out who these people are. And that in itself, to a large number of people, made him an enemy and someone that had to be shut up. So perhaps that's why he's sitting in jail right now. And I think that's the reason. About corruption and how to reshape the system and get control back to the people. So, that was written about him from an onlooker that looked into it a little bit deeper. And somebody wrote to her and said, "You are correct. He was framed and set up by the government. You can check out this information. And also, I am a former targeted individual. You can find information on this horrible atrocity that is being done to innocent citizens globally." The Lord brought me to the Alamo Ministry. And after years of being victimized by our government, I had been delivered and helped by Tony Alamo. And then he gives out some information for you to research regarding gang stalking and other things that are going on in the country today. So I just wanted you to read that because, as you see, other people were thinking the same thing I was thinking. And as I looked into this, I started thinking to myself, you know, man, I really want to get to the bottom of this story, or at least talk about it so that someone else would listen, because all you're going to get, I mean, I go through the internet in newspapers, and all you get is the other side of the story. And, you know, I wanted you to hear his side. And basically because I ran into Tony because he had some common interest. I was covering a lot regarding the Vatican, and I'd found that he was one person that was very outspoken, and very few people in this country are. And a lot of things he was saying was true. So, of course, I had an interest. In around, I don't know what it is, 2005 to 2006 or 7, I started communicating with him to find out what he was doing. And it was an interesting, to say the least, story. So I said, you know, that he'd been fighting, and maybe you don't know this, that he'd been fighting the Vatican and Jesuit-led, what I called Old World Order, for more than three decades. And he'd been doing this when I didn't know anything about it. For example, I'd lived in Rome during the time he'd been speaking about it here in America, and I was a young kid journalist in Rome, and I knew nothing about it and had to learn the hard way there. So when I returned to the States, I found what he was saying was pretty true, you know. And he had an interesting story in that he was a Hollywood record producer who hobnobbed with the big shots and movie stars. And I remember he said this to me. He said, I was one of the most unlikely people to be chosen to spread the gospel of God. But after Jesus came to me while in a Hollywood meeting with lawyers and movie stars, I quit my record promoting business and started spreading the word of the Bible and creating my ministry. Now, he said this years ago when I talked to him. And he said, over the years, my ministry grew with the leaps and bounds. And I first learned many years ago about the Vatican's involvement in the New World Order from my first wife, who has since passed on. And what the Vatican hates still are, I might add, is someone like me who can reach a lot of people, reach and spread the word of God, who and talking about the Vatican in the terms that he did. So I remember that when I talked to John Peeler, we're talking about this unwarranted FBI and government harassment against Tony that's been going on for a century, you know, going on for decades. And as told by FBI agent John Peeler to me, assigned the task to murder Alamo on orders from the government, you know, if he had to, from Clinton himself. Or the word getting down from him, the former self-proclaimed FBI said Alamo was a good man, targeted by the Vatican for his views. And he came forward on my show first, saying that Peeler said he quit the FBI. He couldn't carry out the Alamo, you know, you didn't want to set and frame Tony, and found out otherwise that Tony was a good guy. And so he said this. I remember Peeler said this to me. I had to leave the FBI after I couldn't carry out the Alamo assignment. I then went to Pastor Alamo and apologized. And he said that on my radio show. And then I remember I had both of them on. It was quite a good show. After the FBI couldn't find any dirt on him, authorities had to trump up a bogus tax violation, which finally landed Pastor Alamo in prison for 4 years. And Peeler said this. He said, yeah, they were trying at the time to plant guns, get people in there with rifles and things to make it look like he was a militant revolutionary, and that didn't work. And so finally they couldn't find anything on him, so they basically had to trump up an IRS charge. And it's similar because they did the same thing to Tupper Saucy, who ended up spending 2 years in jail. So is this a pattern? It appears to me both men were talking about the same thing, the Vatican, and both men, in fact, in Tupper Saucy's case, he showed that the prosecutor, in fact, was a Jesuit himself. So that's one reason why I wanted to do these two stories. So regarding that first prison sentence, I remember Tony saying that he was railroaded, but made the best out of the 4 years spent in federal prison by helping people and spreading the word of God while in prison. In an article he wrote about this, he wrote about a victim of outrageous IRS, you know, he said he was a victim of IRS conduct, outrageous conduct. He cites how he was framed, and here is an open portion. I can read you the opening portion of it, but, you know, I may wait and do this at another time. But let me just read you a paragraph what he said. He said, Congress only exposed the tip of the iceberg. I am in prison because the IRS lied about me and my church, relied on preposterous and fabricated tales from a notorious anti-religious group, the Cult Awareness Network, CAN, withheld material from my attorneys, and they were legally bound to reveal, offered rewards to get witnesses to cooperate, threatened several witnesses, and lied under oath in court of law in order to cover up these abuses. He went on, and I remember he said, the government relied on false information from the Cult Awareness Network to murder innocent men, women, and children in Waco. They relied on these same liars to falsify charges against me. The IRS used the Cult Awareness Network, a professional fabrication company, to prosecute innocent churches, and their chief fabricator was Peter Giargidis of Pittsburgh, a Pittsburgh lawyer. The government even allowed the scurrilous organization to literally write my pre-sentence investigation report. Worse, the parole board adopted CAN's anti-religious fabrications, caused me not to get a parole or to go to a minimum security facility. No one I ever spoke with has ever heard of an outside organization being able to influence a pre-sentence investigation report. The so-called Justice Department allowed this group to load my pre-sentence investigation report with blatant lies. The Cult Awareness Network made their money by trying to destroy churches and God-fearing people. So, in a sense, this group also was used by the government, and then you'll find later on it was brought down by the same, you know, it's an interesting story. It was brought down for some reason, and this will be an interesting discussion in itself, because we see later on they were found guilty, some people there were found guilty of kidnapping and religious persecution, and they were forced into bankruptcy and finally closed. Now, are you going to rely? I guess they relied on this great organization to convict Tony. But yet, then, were they sacrificed? Probably. Did they know too much? Maybe. They had to be shut up as well. Who knows? But why would a judge rely on any testimony given by a group that was, in the end, found to do the same darn thing? That's some of the things that he was saying regarding his, and I got a lot more that I'll get into at another time when we go over his IRS reports. And I'm going to do that as well in what Tupper Saucia found his case. And you'll see in both cases, they concoct information and put it in the reports. So, anyway, we're going to get back, and I'm going to also get back with some of his more poignant comments, Tony's is, regarding the Vatican. And you'll see that he was in agreement a lot with Tupper Saucia and what Tupper said in his book, Rulers of Evil. So there's a lot of similarities here, and both men being persecuted. And I ask you, why not listen in to their side of the story and then make up your own mind? So you're listening to The Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Anthony, and I will be back after these short messages. Again, you're listening to FirstAmendment.com. Back in 3 minutes.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. A man in a trench coat, patch I laid off. Says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. The guy's kid, here's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. A man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got to.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, welcome back to the Investigative Journal, and I'm talking about the Tony Alamo story as well as bringing up some things about Tupper Saucy and his book Rulers of Evil, both having similar things in common regarding being, I believe, persecuted by the Vatican for their views on this organization. And if you look over the things that Tony has said over the years, I can understand where someone who doesn't understand what's going on would consider this to be, oh, a bit over the top. I know, because that's the way people view me when I talk about the Vatican and some of the things they've done throughout the course of history. For example, one thing that Tony said, and I could see where someone who doesn't understand our banking system would look at this and go, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because I've had the same thing happen to me. And Tupper Saucy's had the same thing happen to him when it comes to this subject. And he said this in one of his articles. Tony said, the Roman Catholic Jesuits started the international banking system. And when someone reads that, they go, right, how could it be these guys? They're just a very poor priestly organization. But when you look at the quote, when you start studying history, you will see that this group basically if you start looking at the Knights Templars and their form of banking and then what the Jesuits did with that, he's absolutely correct. Of course, things have gotten a little more sophisticated today, but this banking system was created by these people. And he's right on the money. And he said this, he said, he that holds the money bags runs the nation, and that's, he says, is the Vatican's idea. Now, he did say this. He said the Vatican started all the wars, inquisitions, to rid the world of heretics, non-Roman Catholics, and then made loans from her banks to nations so they would have enough money to fight for them. We foolishly permitted this cult's collection agency into our country, the IRS, which answers only to Rome. Now, someone that would read this that doesn't understand them would say, boy, this guy's a little over the top. Well, listen, so am I over the top, because I get the same kind of response from people that don't get it. Not that they don't get it. They just haven't done enough research into it. Now, if Tupper Saucy read that statement from Tony, here's what he would say. He would agree totally with it. And basically, what he found out was that when he was prosecuted for a bogus IRS charge, he found that a Jesuit was his prosecutor. And he said this, he said, it was the same, he said, when he was sentenced and waiting to go to jail, he said this, and so when the moment came for me to pass through the prison camp gates, something got in the way. I can call it only a spirit, an irresistible spirit. It was the same spirit that had directed me to stand on the truth in my writing and speaking. It was the same spirit that had led me to interrogate John McCune at our first encounter in that marble hallway in 1984. The same spirit that had moved him to tell me he was a Jesuit. The spirit turned me away from the prison gate and led me into a fugitive lifestyle. Like I said, Tupper spent 10 years researching this. Now, here's what he found out. Now, remember what Tony said. He said that the Vatican instigates all the wars. Saucy would agree. He said, Saucy says, I felt an overwhelming obligation to love my enemies by studying them in intricate detail. I wanted to know the extent of Jesuit involvement in the United States government, presently and historically. What I discovered, now listen to this, was a vast Roman Catholic substratum to American history, especially the Revolution, that produced the Constitutional Republic. I found the Jesuits played eminent and underappreciated roles in moving the complacent New Englanders to rebel against their mother country. I discovered facts and motives strongly suggesting that events that made Great Britain divide in 1776 were the outworkings of an ingenious Jesuit strategy. The strategy appears to have been single-handedly designed and supervised by a true founding father few Americans have ever heard of, Lorenzo Ricci. Known to British Jesuits as Lawrence Ricci, in fact, investigating Jesuit involvement in the formation of the United States turned up a whole host of hitherto little-known names, such as Robert Bellarmine, Joseph Amiot, the Dukes of Norfolk, Daniel Cox, Sun Tzu, Lord Bute, Francis Thorpe, Nicholas von Hothheim, and the Carroll family, the first Jesuit bishop in America, Daniel, Charles, and John. In their way, these men were as essential to our constitutional origins as Jefferson, Paine, Adams, Washington, Locke, and George III. My investigation began in 1987. It coursed 10 years and ranged with the help of the Lord and many courageous friends to whom this book is dedicated until I was apprehended 10 years later in Southern California. So what Saucy's saying is that Tony's right on the money. Now, in all of the, in his general statements, behind what he says, there's a lot of truth. And how many times on this show have we gone over the Jesuit involvement in the French Revolution, the Jesuit involvement in the Polish Revolution, and most every other revolution that I can think of, in the Russian, in their relationships with Stalin, their relationships with Hitler. I mean, it goes on and on. And so, when you understand this, when there's more than probable cause evidence linking this organization to these people. What Tony says isn't that outlandish, but it's the perception, and it's the misinformation, and it's the role that our media plays that is so devastating to the minds of Americans that they can't quite get it, and if they do start to get it, they can't quite believe it because they've been embedded with these other stories, which are basically fantasy, created by the very organization I'm talking about. Now, as you see, I picked out one thing that Tony said about the IRS, and I did it for a reason. And that is because you can see the similarity between the prosecution of Tupper Saucy and the prosecution of Tony Alamo on his IRS charge first. I believe that was there when they use the IRS, they can basically give you a warning if you speak out, if you talk like both these men did and had a large following. They can kind of say between the lines, listen, you spend a couple of years in jail and you shut your mouth, then we won't bother you anymore. But in both cases, these men even talk louder. And so the persecution even went farther and farther. And in the case of Tony Alamo, it went to a point where they had to put him away for life, 175 years, on very flimsy evidence. And secondly, in the case of Tupper Saucy, he passed away in 2008. I don't know how. I don't know if there's, you know, and I would love to do more research into that. But he's no longer here. So did both of these men pay the ultimate price? Well, we know at least one did. And he's in jail right now. So, and they use the IRS to do that. And that is why I started out with that. Now, another thing. Tony mentioned this, I think I've brought this up before. He mentioned this. He said at a One World Church convention in Vancouver, some of his volunteers were shocked by the pro-homosexual booths and literature, pro-witchcraft booths and literature, drunkenness and total ungodliness, which this universal world's largest cult and sect exalts. The reason I brought this up is that I don't know if you've heard in the news, but the Vatican is pushing, not only in the area of, in the secular area, but in the spiritual area, they're pushing this ecumenical movement, this movement to unite everybody under their umbrella. This kind of what appears to be an outward leniency towards other spiritual views. No longer do you have this kind of hardline stance by Rome against Protestants like they did in the Reformation. And what is this all about? I think Tony talked about it right here in that sentence that he said. It is basically bringing all these people together and quelching, stopping any dissent. And the only ones that you're going to hear now are maybe some street evangelists out there talking against Rome. But if you can control them by one stating, we're no longer your enemy, now that's a Sun Tzu theory that they used in the American Revolution, and I've pointed that out. If you can basically feel that the Vatican is now your friend, not your enemy, it leaves you open for infiltration. And then basically what you're finding now, and I can tell you this from personal experience because I've been interested in this subject, that if you go to any of these churches, any of these bigger churches, go to the Church of the Rock, go to any big Presbyterian church, go to any big Lutheran church, they're not talking against the Vatican anymore. They're basically in lockstep with them. They may go to the Bible more. They may not talk about the Mother Church and the Pope as much, but they're talking about him as a friend. They're talking about as someone that we can now communicate with. Well, this is your first mistake, because once you let your guard down and you don't tell the congregation the truth, it is basically you're ripe for Rome's takeover. And when you talk about a one world church coming, that's what they have in mind. And if you want that, fine, it's your choice. But at least be aware of what they're doing and how they do it. And I think in that one little sentence, I think Tony was right. Now, what else did he say? Somebody came to me and said, oh, did you hear his crazy statements about President Reagan? I go, well, what about it? And so I pulled up some of the things he said about Reagan. And here's what I think. Let's look back at history. Now, if you go back to some of my older shows, you're going to find that there's more than probable cause evidence that the Vatican was involved and the Jesuits were involved in the assassination of President Lincoln. How that takes place, you can find through the papers of one Father Chiniqui, who left these papers behind, all his notes. He was a bishop, or he was a high-level priest, who saw what was happening during that period of our history and how Rome was conniving to do what she always does best, get control of our government, to move it in the direction for her advantage. Lincoln was a stumbling block, and he understood what they were doing. And if you read the whole story of a Father Chiniqui and Lincoln's connection to him, you will see a whole different side of the story that you won't get in our history books. You didn't get in Robert Redford's movie. And it just was really interesting. When I was doing a lot of these stories and a couple other guys had picked up on it, and also featuring a writer by the name of C.T. Wilcox from Canada, who wrote a book about this and actually came up with these documents, a secondary copy that was kept at the home of one of Chiniqui's last living relatives in Canada. And he got a hold of these documents, and basically the Vatican had thought they were destroyed because they burnt down Chiniqui's house and all his records back in the day. But anyway, when Wilcox uncovered this, the book came out, and it's a great book regarding the truth behind the assassination of President Lincoln, adding to McCarty's book written in 1922. Where do you read that anymore? Burke McCarty wrote a book about the assassination of Lincoln. Now, do you think Robert Redford used that for his script? Do you think he used that as background? Of course not. He used Jesuit history, which basically changes all of that stuff. So basically, go to Burke McCarty. Burke McCarty was actually a woman. She changed her name to be a man just to protect herself, and she wrote that book in 1922. Then C.T. Wilcox wrote a book called it something that I always get him. There's two books out. It's Transformation of the Republic, Transformation of America, something like that. There's two books. One is a not C.T. Wilcox, but you'll find it if you Google C.T. Wilcox, Assassination of Lincoln. You'll see a lot of things. But how does that relate to Ronald Reagan? Well, back when Lincoln was assassinated, many of our leaders, those that weren't in the pocket of Rome, saw the connection and cut off any kind of diplomatic relations with the Vatican on a secular level that there was. And then began a period in our history where there were a lot more people talking about the truth about this organization than there are today. So what happened? This lack of diplomatic relations between the Vatican and our country changed during the presidency of Ronald Reagan, when he again opened a door for the Vatican to have diplomatic relations, or you might as well call it concordat, like they have with all these other countries. We don't officially call it that, but the Congress allowed the Vatican to basically have a little spot in Washington, and they can now have relations with our country. And Reagan and the Pope were so proud of this. Now, for most people, they didn't see through the BS. For Tupper Saucy, he did. And on one of my shows, you see what he said about this unholy alliance between Pope John Paul II and Reagan. And then you see a more outspoken Tony Alamo talking regarding what Reagan has done. And so some people that don't understand the backdrop didn't understand what he said. He said President Reagan has been bewitched, too, by the Vatican's craft, just as other world leaders have. This is obvious by his sudden move of sending our U.S. ambassador into the big Roman whorehouse. Now, Tony's choice of words, he's pretty blunt about it. This cult's home office and general headquarters. So, Mr. President, you're hanging around far too much with those Jesuit-trained one-world church ministers, and they're giving you some really bad advice. I agree with them. It's the Vatican money and the big Vatican backup that's causing you to become part of this cult. Would you sell your eternal soul by joining yourself and our nation to the Antichrist for money and temporal power? And like I said, if you look at this from a spiritual point of view, or if you look at it from just a secular point of view, don't let those views, if you don't look at it from a spiritual point of view, turn you off. Because what he's saying is basically the Vatican money controls our country. And if you talk to Tupper Saucy, he would agree. If you talk to other people that understand this, they would agree as well. So what he was saying about Reagan really wasn't that outlandish. And I wanted to bring that up. Now, when we get a little deeper into these stories of both these men, I also find that it affects a lot of other people. And in the case of Tupper, it has affected, I think, a lot of researchers. His death, I think a lot of research has stopped. And I would like to see people pick this book up and do as much as they can to continue what he wanted to do. Because I remember emailing him prior to his death, because we had a lot of things in common. He was very concerned about that. And he said, my book's only a starting point here. There's so much more and so many more things we can do to enlighten people about this subject. And I would encourage people to read the book with that in mind. Secondly, what I'm getting at is that as you see Burke McCarty's book, as you see C.T. Wilcox's book, the writings of Tony Alamo and his ministry, and Tupper Saucy, you're seeing all of this stuff getting pushed aside. In the case of the ministry, the Vatican's still wanting to shut it down. There's been some huge civil settlements that I've talked about before that I'll get into regarding the Alamo ministry. And then you see the books of McCarty. You don't even read them. Nobody knows about them. C.T. Wilcox, my friend from Canada, he's tried to get this a movie done. It would be a fantastic movie. He can't get any financial support to do that. So that's what I fear. I fear that as time passes, the more we become technologically advanced, the less we know about this stuff. Very interesting how the internet is used. And there's another thing I wanted to mention. Tony mentions up there that's quite interesting. He said the Vatican has used the Communist Party to help destroy the Russian Orthodox Church, and she used the Nazi Party in an attempt to do away with the Jews and their synagogues. Now, some people that aren't aware of that would probably look and say, oh boy, he's off base. And I know that for a fact because I've said the same thing, and that's what people think that aren't fully informed on this subject. So he's right on the money there as well. Now, in the last few minutes, what I wanted to do was to encourage you to read everything you can about this story, to see the government smear on the websites in the mainstream media. You can't overlook it. And then I would ask you, if you have an open mind, to look at his side of the story, which I'm trying to do in the best way possible here, and you'll find there are some really discrepancies that come to life. And I would hope maybe the Innocence Project might pick this case up. But I don't know much about them and who backs them and where their money comes from. So I see them taking on some murder cases, but I don't see them getting involved in these kind of cases at all. Or maybe I'm wrong. If anybody knows, let me know. And I would hope that something could get done in that regard. Also, if you're going to read, you know, I looked at this and I said, wow, why did this story get such national attention? It was on Oprah Winfrey. It got on all the big crime shows. I mean, it was on every major news network. And that, to me, is another sign that something's amiss. And then when you read it to what went on in the trial, which I'm going to get to in a couple other shows, you're going to say, boy, let's move forward and talk more about this case. And when someone is persecuted for his views, and especially when it comes to the Vatican, I'd like to let you know about it, because it's a subject that is very dear to my heart, because I learned about it the hard way myself, and that is by growing up as a Catholic, going to Catholic school, going to Rome as a journalist, and learning about this when I couldn't at the beginning believe it, because it was going against everything in my belief system. But when I had to come to the hard realization that it was true, it was quite difficult. So what I decided to do was to do as much research as I can. And the more I did, the more I saw the truth in what these men that have been persecuted for this view. And then I looked at the problems in our country and I said, man, this is making a lot of sense, and I've got to come out and talk about it. And so that's what I did. And in the end, what happened was I had a couple of other big radio shows, bigger ones, that no longer would want to carry this story. And then I started to get some attacks from different areas, and I knew I was on the right track because of that. And then I noticed that a lot of my guests were getting much more harsh treatment than me. And so I figured, boy, this is something, I think we're at the tip of the iceberg here, and I wanted to continue with it. So I have a personal interest from that regard, and I hope you can bear with this show, because we're just at the beginning stages, and I wanted to use the of getting to the truth about this organization, and I wanted to use these two gentlemen right here in the modern America to show you that what happened back in the centuries before is still going on today, and that we need to know about it, simply know how to live with it and understand it, instead of being blind to what, to Rome and our government and the world's government manipulation of us citizens. And that's basically what it boils down to. So listen, thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Have a good evening and good night.